Now this week we have been awakened to the seriousness and the difficulties of life, haven't we? Of course, we remain in the house of mourning, and we will continue to be in the house of mourning for our beloved brother Bob that has gone on and finished his race and is now with our Savior, and yet our hearts still struggle. And this week, whether you realize it, and with everything that's been going on, it was the 17th anniversary of 9/11. And our whole nation, in a sense, on Tuesday, was very somber and serious. Sometimes life is very difficult. It has a tendency of our trials and troubles and difficulties of overwhelming us. And really, no one is exempt from moments like this in history, to where you just feel like you're suffering in an emotional chaos. You know, the Bible helps us to understand this. There are great stories at times like this that are just so good for us. One of those stories is in the book of John. If you'd like to open your Bible with me for a moment, in John chapter 6, and I want us to read together beginning in verse 16 down through verse 21. John chapter 6, beginning in verse 16, that scripture says, "Now when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into the boat, and went over the sea towards Capernaum. And it was already dark, and Jesus had not come to them. Then the sea arose, because a great wind was blowing. So when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near the boat, and they were afraid. But he said to them, 'It is I, do not be afraid.' Then they willingly received him into the boat, and immediately the boat was on the land where they were going." There in verse 19, that scripture says they were afraid. I have a feeling that doesn't really capture the emotional distress that they were in. If you would look in Matthew's account in chapter 14, verse 26, it said they cried out for fear. Now that's a little bit more like it. So that might have been more of the mentality that these men were suffering, thinking that they were about to meet their maker, so to speak. It was perilous. It was the tempest was tossed. And they were struggling mightily, and they were greatly afraid and cried out. And then verse 20. Verse 20, ringing out of nowhere, "It is I, do not be afraid. It is I, do not be afraid." What a wonderful sentiment that is. That is such a soothing sentiment. Such a soothing story. And so when you look in Matthew's account in chapter 14, in verse 32 and 33, it said, "And when they," that this is the story that includes Peter when he tried to walk out to Jesus, "when they had got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, 'Truly you are the Son of God.'" Jesus truly is the Son of God. He is the one that has the power to walk upon the water. He is the one who has the power to calm the tempest. He is the one that has the power to do everything there is and create everything there is. They worshiped him, the scripture says. They recognize that he's not only the Son of God, but he's God the Son. They worshiped him. We should worship him. We should be so thankful unto him. We should pledge our allegiance unto him. He is our creator. He is the great I Am. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is the God of Christians. He is our God. And he cares. He cares when we're troubled. He cares when we're filled with anxieties. He cares when our heart is filled with grief. He cares. It's an interesting expression that we don't use very often in light of this, but I want to read it to you and with you in Isaiah chapter 43. In Isaiah chapter 43, in the first few verses, Isaiah chapter 43, Isaiah had such a wonderful way with words unto the nation of Israel. And Isaiah said this as he's being a spokesman for God. He says, "But now thus saith the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." Are those wonderful words? We could think about these things in a literal fashion, and we've seen times when that has come true. I can't help but think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, remember, when they literally went through the flame. And there was the fourth one, like the Son of Man, that was roaming in the midst. and they were not scorched. Even the smoke wasn't upon their clothing when they came out of that fiery furnace. The Lord said, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. Boy, did Israel learn that. Remember when they went through the midst of the Red Sea? There the Lord was with them. The Lord was behind them, keeping the chariots of Pharaoh away from them. So they went through the midst of the sea. The Lord led them through that barren wilderness. And though the rivers, they shall not overflow you. If I happened to be in North Carolina today, this would be a really good lesson to teach my brothers and sisters, where the rivers are coming up rapidly and the floods are starting to overtake that from Hurricane Florence. There, we live in a world of trouble, and we live in a world of anxiety, and we live in a world where sometimes our emotions just get right at the edge. And our God is promising us. He says, I'm not going to let that happen because I am the Lord your God. I'm the Holy Savior of Israel. I am your Savior. Just as Israel needed to trust those words, we need to trust those words. You may recall when Jesus was talking to His closest disciples, and He was trying to allay their fears. This was the night before He died. That famous section from John chapter 14 through 17. In John chapter 14 and verse 27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid." What a wonderful passage. That's a passage that if you mark in your Bible, or you highlight in your Bible, John 14, verse 27. "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." We can trust Him. We know what He said back a few chapters earlier in John chapter 10 and in verse 27, where the Son of God said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one's able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." He deserves our worship. He is God, the Son. He is equal with the Father. He has the power to fulfill the promise that He says, "No one can take you from me. You are my sheep. I care for you in the midst of trouble, turmoil, and grief. Let not your heart be afraid." Jesus said, "It is I." He's able to show up out of nowhere, helping us understand these premises. So as we think about these things, we may not think about it in the light of Jesus literally showing in His presence, but He sure has left us some wonderful blessings that reassure us as we look within the Holy Scriptures and discover what they are. Four of them I want to share with you for just a few moments. The first one, the wonderful blessing that Jesus provides in to give us help in time of need, of course, prayer. I love the expression, the way, and we've looked at prayer quite a bit the last month or so, and once again, I think it's worthy of expressing in James chapter 4 and in verse 8, "Draw near to God, He will draw near to you." I love that expression when we think about prayer. God has promised that if we'll draw near to Him, communicating, talking with Him, pleading with Him, offering prayers, supplications, intercessions, He promises His ears are open. His ears await our prayers. He wants us to draw near to Him. Just as we talk to one another, God wants us to be talking unto Him because we share the closeness of family. You don't have to look very far as you go down to the very next chapter in chapter 5 and verse 13. If you're suffering, talking about that emotional chaos, we're talking about this particular story here. If you feel overwhelmed in anxieties and fears and griefs, let Him pray. Let Him pray. Let her pray. Let us pray. Prayer is so important. It wasn't just James, if you just turn a page or two over to 1 Peter. A man that was out there in the midst of that tempest that you see there upon the screen. A man that got in the boat with Jesus and watched the winds calm immediately. In 1 Peter chapter 5, and in verse 6, the writer says, "Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." I don't know if you ever noticed that, but those four verses really go together. Sometimes we look at them, we stop, we read verses 6 and 7, and then later on we read verses 8 and 9. But I think they're perfectly matched together. Because the devil's coming after us with every weapon at his disposal that he has. And he wants to shake us up. He wants to destroy us. And he uses trials, afflictions, troubles, anguish, grief, persecutions, tribulations to try to separate us from our God. And our God is trying to tell us through the Apostle Peter to be sober and be vigilant. Recognize your enemy and what he's trying to do. Resist him. The best way we can resist him is to fall upon our knees and talk to our God. Cast all your care upon him. He cares for you. He knows what you're going through. How many times has that been said in various pulpits throughout the land? As we think about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, when the devil was putting both barrels before his head. And there he prayed. And there God strengthened him. And he accomplished the mission that was at hand. This is our Lord in Luke chapter 12. We usually don't read Luke's rendition, but every now and then it's good for us to think about the way in which Luke had worded these type of things that we commonly read from the Sermon on the Mount. In Luke chapter 12 and in verse 27, Jesus tells the crowd, and has probably told this many different times in many different places where he was as he went and preached about the kingdom. He told them to consider the lilies, how they grow, they neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all of his glory wasn't arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor have an anxious mind. That last one gets me. I don't know if it gets you or not. And sometimes I just feel riddled with anxiety. Maybe you do as well. Don't have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things, but seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Then verse 32, I love the addition to this. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Your Father wants what's best for you. Ultimately, everything's going to be great for you. Trust me. Trust me. Seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. How wonderful it is when we're overwhelmed, when we're struggling, we're dealing with our anxieties. Think about these wonderful words from the Son of God, that he tells us, draw near to God. That's what we need to be doing times like this. And then, of course, I've kind of been going around and saying this in an indirect way, but I did want to say it. The idea when we are struggling, another wonderful blessing that our God has provided us is the ability to read that Holy Bible. To pull out that Bible, number 416 in our songbook. I think that I taught you this song when I came here. I don't think you knew this song at that time, titled There's a Book. There's a book which surpasses the sages. You know, the sages are the really wise people. A volume of wisdom divine. And the glory that gleams from its pages, no splendor of earth can outshine. 'Tis the Bible, our guiding star that leads from earth to heaven. Remember that star of Bethlehem that led them to the Christ child? The Bible, a wonderful way in which the poet of this song put together. It is that guiding star that leads us from here to there. The Bible, we love that precious book of truth which God has given. What a wonderful blessing we have to have the Bible before us. It is the best bought book in the world and very often the least read, sad to say. And I have directed towards your attention there the psalm, the great psalm, the 119th psalm. I'm not going to read 176 verses, but I do want to read from these verses, verses 89 down through verse 96, the Hebrew letter Lamed. Let's read those eight verses together. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You establish the earth and it abides. They continue this day according to your ordinances, for all are your servants. Unless your law had been my delight, I would have then perished in my affliction. Think of the power of that verse. I'll never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. I am yours, save me, for I have sought your precepts. The wicked wait for me to destroy me, but I'll consider your testimonies. I have seen the consummation of all perfection, but your commandment is exceedingly broad. Oh, the writer tells us that in the moment of affliction, oh, how we so desperately need His Word. We read His principles when we struggle and when we suffer, and we find comfort and we find reassurance. We have God's love. He talks about God's concern and His compassion for us, His people, His compassion for me. I'm in trouble. I need solutions. Where should I go? I should go to His Word. I should look for solutions for the problems that I'm suffering with. Now, you may not find a solution for an algebraic equation. That's not what you're looking for. But if you got a problem in this life, a moral and ethical problem, so many of them, the solution is found within the Scriptures of our God. We can read about our spiritual ancestors and see how they coped with the various dilemmas and struggles in their lives. See what they did. Sometimes we learn exactly what we should be doing. Sometimes we learn what we ought not be doing. Sometimes we can look at what they're doing and saying, oh my, I'm doing the same thing. I need to stop it. Or sometimes we can look and say, wow, they're doing great. I need to try that. I need to go in that direction. Our God is encouraging us to read, to hide His words deep within our heart, knowing that His precepts give us life, knowing His precepts save me. We're studying the book of Job on Sunday morning. What a great story that is for those in the house of suffering, in the house of mourning. It's a story of a man that is under great peril. And yet as we read through this story, we see as we get to the end of that story that that man Job is indeed a wonderful man and worthy of us following, because God had loved him and blessed him and took care of him through all of the sufferings that he was in. Let's look at a third one together. A third one together that I think is going to be so helpful and is very helpful, a great blessing. Your brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. I've seen time and time again where there's been a brother or sister that some type of catastrophe, some tragedy has come upon them, and they turn inward. I think I've seen that in practically every congregation that I've worked with, and that includes this congregation as well. I've seen people that do this. That when you find yourself in a mess, you go inside of yourself. And that's not a good place to be. It can be a very dark place. It's a place where people sometimes never come out. They just basically crawl inward and then they self-destruct. God's plan was to help us not be that way, to recognize that crawling inside of ourselves is sometimes the worst place to go. But He has provided a formula and a solution to help us cope with all types of anxieties. And the concept of a local church really fits that need, does it not? Is God's plan to help us with this local church structure? When you look in 2 Peter chapter 1, and in verse 1, Peter says, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. He basically starts it off together saying, we're all on the same page. We're all on the same team. We have a like precious faith, and we can help each other get to where we need to go. And the interesting thing about Peter's letters is he talks a lot about us dealing with suffering. And sometimes the best way to deal with our suffering is to open up to those who share our faith, that share our values, that share our Savior. We share the same book. We have the same faith and the same goals designed to help one another. How could I not but address what was there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and in verse 24? In the middle of that verse, he said, God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. You know what that means? Very simply put, that we come to each other and we feel each other's pain. And then we feel each other's pleasure. That we encourage each other in times of joy. We're there together in times of grief. That's the idea. That's why God has designed the body the way it is. God's a very present help when we utilize the tools He's made available for us to use. It can help find solutions. Somebody is struggling with finances. Somebody's struggling in their marriage. Somebody's struggling with their child raising. They're brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus that are doing well, that are doing it right, that have wisdom that can help us find solutions to help us as we're suffering, as we're afflicted, as we're anxious. The local church, very present help in time of trouble. And there's one more. And I don't know, maybe the one that's utilized the least and ought to be utilized the most. There in Colossians chapter 1 and so many different other passages I can go to. But I just love the way it's written there in this verse. As he's talking about the Christians there, he talks about, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel. I could just go from song to song to song. How about number 472? Sometimes songs say so much in the way that they're written. Remember this, if the skies above you are gray and you're feeling so blue, if your cares and burdens seem great all the whole day through, there's a silver lining that shines in the heavenly land. Look by faith, see it, my friend. Trust in His promises grand. I don't know if you ever sing that song and think about those words to that magnitude, but boy, isn't that comforting? When everything seems so dark and dreary, He's encouraging us, look to the promise of God of a better, wonderful day. And then, of course, I asked Chris in a somewhat forceful way to lead 603 this morning. He came in and saw number 603 on the board. I wanted him to lead that song before we started. Beautiful song, Walking Alone at Eve. I love the chorus. Oh, for a home with God, a place in His courts to rest. Sure and a safe abode with Jesus in the blessed. Rest for a weary soul once redeemed by the Savior's love, where I'll be pure and whole and live with my God above. Oh, for a home with... He's sitting there looking at the stars. The stars are just starting to come in the evening, the dusk sky. And it begins helping him think about heaven, being at home with God, finding a home of rest, a place in His courts where I will see God and be with God and be safe and be secure because He redeemed me. He gave His life for me so I could be there with Him. I trust His promises. I'll be pure and I'll be whole and I'll live with my God above. Are you in the midst of the tempest? I hope you're applying these principles. They'll help. But if you're in the midst of a tempest with the salvation of your soul, you've been living in sin, you've not yet become a Christian, or you're a Christian that you're basically walking off the plank of the straight and narrow way, you don't have to jump off the ship. You can come back. You can repent. You can humble yourself in repentance. You can confess your sins. You can ask for God's forgiveness and mercy, my brother or sister, and you can restart today. How do I know that? Because Jesus walked upon the water one day and said, "It is I, do not be afraid." If there was ever a man that wanted to walk off the plank too many times, it was Simon Peter, wasn't it? And there He saved him. If He'll save Simon, He'll save you, He'll save me, He'll save us. Give your heart to Jesus. The invitation song has been selected. If you want to make your life right with God, please come to the front while Chris will now lead us together in the invitation song.